Welcome to PCS Caregiving, where we discuss a variety of caregiver issues and how helping professionals can better serve military families as they PCS from their role as a spouse, friend, partner, or loved one to a caregiver. I'm your host, Rachel Browner. Join us each episode as we feature unique caregiver issues, tips, strategies, resources, and subject matter experts on this PCS caregiving journey. For those of our listeners that are not familiar with the military acronym PCS, it stands for Permanent Change of Station, and the term is commonly used in the military as service members and families transition to different duty stations. But we're using it in the context that can be useful in describing the transition military caregivers experience as they care for wounded warriors or individuals with special health care needs. Over the course of the next few episodes, we're going to be focusing on grief and loss as it relates to stages of grief, physical and emotional toll of grief, and how to respond. So joining me for these episodes is my colleague, Andrew Crocker, also known as Andy. Andy is an extension program specialist in gerontology and health at Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. Last month, we focused on balancing loss and gains and how the greater the loss, the more profound the feelings of grief are. So if you missed last month's podcast, there's still time to listen, go back through, get caught up with us. Andy discussed grief as a positive process, and he used the SOC model, which is selection, optimization, and compensation, as a framework for understanding loss and gains. He gave examples using the SOC model and processes. So the selection of the SOC model is choosing our activities and goals. Optimization is engaging in behaviors to achieve these goals. And then the compensation of the SOC model is responding to those changes that are due to behaviors. So this month I sat down with Andy. We discussed signs of grief our listeners and caregivers may face with regards to loss.
Just like it's helpful to think about balancing gains and losses in the context of some framework like the SOC model, it's also helpful to think about grieving in a framework. And the framework that we're most familiar with was first described by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who broke grief into five distinct stages. And those are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. In denial, we might say something to ourselves like, this can't be happening to me. You know, I'm unwilling to accept that my sudden or my predictable or my ambiguous loss is really happening. And I don't want to believe it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm not acknowledging it in any way, shape, or form. When it gets to anger, perhaps we ask ourselves something like, why is this happening? But also we might want to know who is to blame. And so we're looking for some type of foil to help make the grief or the loss that we're experiencing less painful, or we want to be able to take out our aggression on something or someone. When we get to bargaining, you know, perhaps we're trying to strike some kind of grand compromise with someone or something that may or may not exist. So if this could not happen to me, I will do X, Y, or Z. Often this comes in the form of appealing to a higher power, perhaps, you know, questioning why is this happening, and, you know, I will devote my life in service and charity to others if this cannot happen to me. When we get to depression, you know, you might say something to yourself like, I'm too sad to do anything. And this can really affect our ability to sock. You know, if we're not able to critically think through the selection, optimization, and compensation process in response to a loss and in response to our grief, we may not be able to move forward. And this is because depression has set in. And then finally, we come to acceptance, where we learn to be at peace with what has happened. We acknowledge that perhaps things are out of our control. We've figured out how to optimize and compensate in our new role, in our new function, in our new normal moving forward, and accept what we've gone through.
Before we continue with today's episode, we have a message from our sponsors. Did you know across the active duty and selected reserve population, there are approximately 2 million military personnel and 2.7 million family members, including spouses, children, and adult dependents? There are more than 20 million veterans living in the United States today, and a significant portion of whom have service-connected conditions or disabilities that require ongoing support and care. Get connected with the Military Families Learning Network to learn more about caregiver resources for providers and families. Simply go to militaryfamilieslearningnetwork.org and search military caregiving. Now, back to the show.
Even though there's a nice framework to adhere to when we talk about grief and loss, the process unfolds in stages that are going to vary from person to person. And these stages are fluid, and we may go back and forth between one or the other, and it can even be very frustrating when volatile emotions suddenly reemerge. Feelings of guilt and loneliness might be seen as signs of regression, but in grief, as in many other long, slow processes, episodes of regression may be a natural part of progression. And even Kubler-Ross, toward the end of her life, acknowledged that she never intended for these five stages to help tuck messy emotions into neat packages. But as human beings, as rational thinkers, it helps us to be able to break what we're experiencing down into this kind of framework almost as a coping mechanism in and of itself.
Andy, you made a really interesting point for our listeners to be aware of, that grief has a beginning and an end, and there's no typical response to loss because there's no typical loss. Stay tuned, everyone, for our next episode as Andy discusses the physical and emotional manifestations of grief, such as disorganization, fear, guilt, and many others. For more information on grief and loss, make sure to download today's show notes for additional resources. And as always, don't forget to connect with us via our Military Families Learning Network as we engage family service providers and educators in the exchange of experiences and research to enhance professional impact and encourage professional growth at militaryfamilieslearningnetwork.org. Support for the Military Families Learning Network is from the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Office of Military Family Readiness Policy, U.S. Department of Defense.